Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. I love that song. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But I want somebody this morning to get up and testify about the blood of Jesus. Well, let me tell you about the blood of Jesus. There was this woman on this island, pregnant. She gave birth to a premature little child. In fact, she said the child was so small, she could hold the child in the palm of her hand like this. And back then, they didn't have all these nice equipments that they have to keep a baby. They send her home with this little baby. When that baby was 5 years old, somebody gave her a prophecy that baby will be a preacher. And today, that baby is a preacher in front of you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The blood can change any circumstance. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, it changed everything. I can testify about the blood of Jesus. You want to know about the blood of Jesus? I remember I'm in the United States, wanting to go to school, playing basketball, jump up, came down, I hear a big old crush. Look down, my ankle swole instantly. I have no Medicaid. I have no, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. I have no Aflac. I didn't have anything. But one thing I did have was the blood of Jesus. I remember praying and holding my ankle and saying, God, take care of this. And in 3 days, I was riding my bike again. I didn't even see a doctor. The only doctor that visited me was the doctor Jesus, and his blood was applied, and his stripes made me heal. That's about the blood. Is somebody here this morning that has been affected by the blood of Christ? I want you to testify. Now, how can you go out into the world and testify about Christ if you're among believers who has been affected with the blood and you can't even testify? Isn't that like the blood of Christ? I tell you, how do we overcome the enemy? How does the Bible say we overcome? And the word of our testimony, we just sung about the blood. We know the blood has been shed. We didn't have to do that. God did that for us in his great covenant for his people. What we have to do is testify. You know something? Testimony is good. You know why testimony is good? It defeats the enemy. Not only in your life, but in others' lives. You know, it gives me faith to believe when I hear what God has done for someone else. Especially if I'm walking in that situation. God is good. I mean, you know, in this little assembly, we have some big things that God has done. And we got to testify. We need our voice to be heard of what God has done, because we're going to encourage each other in the Lord. The blood of Christ is so good that he could take a man that can't read and take him through college. 3.0 average. With a minor in Greek. Where do you hear that happening? But how? It's by God's power and the blood spilled on the cross. Poured out for us. How else? It's a miracle. You know, I look back at my life every day and I can't help but give God praise. When I was, I had to have been about 15, 16. I love singing. I mean, I just love singing. And I would sing at home a lot. And I would get laughed at a lot. And they would really make fun of me. And but I sang anyway. And then I thought I'd go, you know, like how they have the X Factor here, and they have, what was the other one? American Idol. They had something in a very smaller scale in Trinidad, and I decided I'm going to go. They call it, it was more like a scouting for talent, so I decided I'll go sign up. And I went, And they chose me because, you know, they didn't have enough, so they they took me, and I got last place. But it never made me stop. And to think that for about almost 15 years of my life, I led worship. That's the Lord. You know, all you have to do to see the blood of Jesus Christ is to stand up, turn around, and look back. That's all you got to do. Turn around and look back, and you would see God. You would see His blood spilled for you. You would see how when you thought things weren't going your way, and when things are not right, and when you look back, you realize that all through that, He was right there taking you through it. And you are better today for what you went through. We don't take the time to thank God enough for what He has done. We don't. Most of the time, we thank God for the big things. Near-death experience, we thank in God. But you know, sometimes the small things is we just leave them out, and we should be thanking God anyway. You know, some of you think you don't have much to thank God for because you grew up in a Christian home and you really haven't really done anything bad. But guess what? You have something to thank God for. Godly parents who kept you and taught you the good things of God that kept you away from the things that would bring you harm. Don't you get jealous of me because I walked a life that God had to pull me out of? You should be happy that you didn't have to walk my walk. And thank God that His power kept you from walking where I had to walk. Because you know what? Sometimes I look at my life and I say, Lord, I wish that if I could ever go back with family. But this, you know, I tell this to God all the time. If I could ever go back to that 11-year-old experience with that other boy under that bridge, I would change things. You know how many times I wish I could go back to that one experience? Because it changed my life. And guess what? I'm affected for the rest of my life. So you who don't go through those experiences and God is keeping you pure, guess what? You have a lot to be thankful for and to give praise to God for His blood. The best testimony you could hear is somebody to stand up and says, I am 18 years old and I want to thank God for His keeping power because I am pure. It's a good testimony. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Let me tell you something. We may see a tragedy, but God sees blessing, you know, because there's some, you know, let me show you how God works. Even though I wish I could get the opportunity to go back at 11 years old, instead of cutting school and letting what happened happen, God uses that experience today to minister to others. You see how God works? You know, the enemy could come to you and try to do a lot of stuff. But guess what? He can't do what God didn't allow him to do. He's on a leash. And then God takes that experience and use it to bless others. I give you my first point. We were supposed to be in Deuteronomy chapter 29, and I was going to start at verse 14. And in verse 14, it talks, I wanted to go to this one word, covenant. You know, we make a lot of covenants today. We do. We make a lot of covenants today. Some of the covenants we make is, and the most known is the marriage vows, right? That's, you guys didn't realize that's a covenant. We make a covenant when we stand up in front of the judge or the preacher, or I guess that's the two places you go. You either go to the courthouse or you come to the church. We make covenants. But, you know, it's sad to say that in the church today, I think it's more than 50% of the church break that covenant. More than 50%. Well, God was making a covenant with His people. And He talked about that covenant there. One thing I could tell you about God, He will not break His covenant. We break covenants all the time. Not just marriage. Sometimes we shake hands with somebody and we say, this is what's going to take place. we'll be together on this. And then it doesn't happen. We break that covenant. But with God, when God says it, that covenant is there for everlasting. Guess what? When Christ died on the cross, that was the covenant. His promise. That's what he promised he was going to do for us. He's going to put Christ on the cross and let his blood be spilled so that we don't have to absorb the wrath of God. Christ did that for us. And you know something with a covenant? It's never one way. A covenant is always between two parties or more. So therefore, the covenant that Christ made on the cross, when we say yes to God, we are saying, I make also a covenant with you. That's what we're saying. When we walk down that aisle, when they're singing, I surrender all, because when I was growing up, every time they did an altar call was either I surrender all or one of those type of songs they sang at the end. And when you come and you fall at the foot of the cross in repentance, you are saying, I am making a covenant that you are going to be my Savior and my God and my Lord and my judge, and I am going to do what you require me to do in that covenant. People, let's try not to break our covenant with God. Let's not. You know, sometimes if you go lower in that chapter, I don't know where it is. I was going to go pretty much to the end. But in the middle, so I'm giving you my sermon quickly. In the middle, it talks about a root. That was the other word we were going to discuss, the root. You know, when I was growing up, my grandmother loved plants. You walk into her yard and it was a jungle of plants. We will have to water them in the morning and we would water them in the evening. Beautiful. She had a green thumb, if you would call it. I mean, there were plants in the house and the yard was just like a botanical garden. But every now and then she wanted to reproduce one of those plants. So she would take her shears and she would go out and clip a piece. And then she would put it in a little glass of water and she would set it there in the kitchen, right by the window. And about 3 or 4 days, you would start to see root. The roots start to, you know, come out. And then she would take it and put it in a pot. And once that thing got root, guess what? There was no way it was going to die then. Well, in there it talked about the root. It talked about the person who is a covenant breaker. That is among the Israelites, that it could become a root and spring forth and produce unrighteousness in the camp. And guess what it says? And they think they could just go about doing it. And this is my own words. I want you to read it when you go home and see if you get the same thing. They could keep on doing what, thinking that, you know, it's okay. I am still under the covenant of God. But what God says, curse shall come upon them. I pray that we don't allow sin to be a root in our lives. You know, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says this, guard your heart. How many of us guard our hearts? It says, guard your heart. How do you do that? I believe the psalmist was very clear when he says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How you guard your heart? Hide God's word in there. Make it a treasure chest for God's word. And you would find that the root of sin will not take place. That's a root that beareth guile. We got to be careful. Let's guard our hearts. Let that covenant of Christ's blood and us saying yes to him, and it's sealed that we will follow him with all our hearts. That's what God is calling us to. You know, the word of God is not complicated at all. Let's sum up the word of God in one phrase. Be faithful. That's what God is saying to us. Be faithful.
If we will be faithful, we will walk in God's blessing always.
Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Let us be heart guarders. How do I guard my heart? I'll give you some examples of how I guard your heart, my heart. I'll be at work, and something comes into my mind, and I know it's not godly. My favorite scripture that I use is this: think on those things that are lovely, that has a good report. I repeat that over and over again because the thing wants to take root. And I don't want it to, because soon as it takes root, it's going to start growing. And when it becomes mature in your mind, it will bear fruit. Now, if I don't have the treasure chest of God's word in my heart to use when those things come, I'll be defeated. We got to know God's word. We got to take time into God's word. You know, I don't even think you have to know how to quote it word for word. You know, some people say you need to know how to quote it word for word. You need to know what chapter, what verse. I don't believe that. You need to know the word. You need to be able to say, God's word tells me that if I resist you, you're going to flee. And right now, that's what I do. You think I know where it comes from every time? No, I don't. But I know it's there because why? I am spending time in God's word. Spend time in his word, folks, and we will not be defeated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can acknowledge and give you thanks and praise and honor for what you have done. For it's through the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved, and by faith we are saved. So, Father, we ask God that we will be people that would guard our hearts, that we will be people that will testify about what the blood of Christ has done for us. Lord, as we look back at our lives, we can truly say, the Lord has brought us this far, and the Lord is going to take us to the end, because your word says that you are faithful to complete what you have begun in us. So, Father, we ask, O God, that you would anoint each person here today. Give them the strength to walk uprightly, circumspectly. Give them a desire for your word. Give them a hunger for righteousness. And may we all lift up your name, that people can see God in us and glorify the Father which is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.